First Corinthians 3, okay? 3:3. Let's just begin. And brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual ones, but as fleshly ones, babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink and not food, for you were not then able, for neither are you yet able. Well, we believe in here some of us are able. For you are yet fleshy, for where among you is jealousy and strife and divisions? Are you not fleshy and walk according to man? And then he goes on to tell us exactly what he's talking about in this church, and you're going to see the covering doctrine. The covering doctrine is a doctrine that is of flesh. It comes from jealousy. It comes from comparison. It causes contention. What do I mean when I say the covering doctrine? The Bible in Revelations calls it, Nicolaitan doctrine, and it's really rebuked. It's what the whole church is under. I'm not trying to be, if I did not come against this doctrine, this ministry would be much more known, because this is the golden calf in the church. The covering doctrine is where you say that there's a person who is superior to you in their walk with God. And therefore, you listen to them. It comes out of the dark ages. It comes out of Catholicism, okay? Catholicism says the Pope knows God, and here's God special. It got so bad that they took everybody's Bibles, and they said, you normal little lay people, you can't understand the deep things of God. Let us tell you what it says. And then it got into giving money and works you did for repentance and got all off track. Well, Martin Luther, he recognized this is by faith and this is wrong, and he wrote up, not Martin Luther King, Martin Luther, the guy way back. He's actually who Martin Luther King was named after. He put the thing on the wall, and he was very persecuted and started what we call the Protestant Church. And basically he said, this isn't right. Okay, from that time, we still see the fivefold leaders. And that's why that teaching on apostolic move and preparing for ministry gifts, God calls the fivefold ministry teachers, or the fivefold ministry, he calls them a gift. He does not call them superior beings with special revelations from God. Okay? God actually sees, there's not a us and them. Covering doctrine is there's an us and a them. There's us, the leaders. And them is everybody else. No, it's there's us and him. And then there's gifts who've been anointed by God for his purposes to mature everyone into full knowledge of Christ, that we all recognize that we are connected to the headship of Christ. The Bible says, call no one leader. Okay? And you've got to, if you get on this side of it, because God made me a pastor, because he said, if I was one, I'd start liking them. And it took a little bit. But not all, but many leaders talk about people as if they're theirs. Like, well, the people in my church, and how are... It's like, they're not your people. My people. They've been my people. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, for when one may say, and that whole teaching to really get you free is on that one tape I told you. Everybody else says, where do you get that stuff from covering? If you want the scriptures and all, get whatever teaching it was that I told you it was on. I don't remember. I think it was the Creator Creation, but whichever one. He says, now this is the scriptures. For when one says, truly I am of Paul, I am a Baptist, I am a Catholic, I am of Beauty for Ashes, I am of the Episcopal Church, I am of this. When one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not fleshy? Are you not comparing? Are you not saying you're superior? Are you not saying they're inferior? And he goes on, what then is Paul? What is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, and to each as the Lord gave. I planted, Apollos watered, but God made to grow. So as neither he planting is anything, nor he watering, but God making to grow, so he planting, he watering are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For of God we are fellow workers. What are we? Was Paul including himself?
Yes.
A powerful apostle?
Yes.
So Paul is basically saying, quit saying that I'm superior to you. Quit acting as if it's between me and this other guy as to who you're supposed to follow, and follow Christ. Okay, and there's a lot more teaching on this, but anyway. For of God we are all fellow workers, a field of God, and you are a building of God. According to God's grace given to me, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, another builds on it, but let each one be careful how he builds. Okay, we're not getting into all that, but that would be fun, huh? It's probably in that teaching. All right, now, so false doctrine and spirit of error, and even what has gotten the church off track and has still got her off track today, while she doesn't have much authority or power over false religions, even false religions that hate us, and would like to destroy us. Amen. See, the work of sanctification or being set apart to be holy is to get evil out, because where there's evil in, we have no authority over evil. And that's why the church is really so weak. That's why we have so much mess in our families. We haven't known to go before the Lord and say, would you get this out of my heart? And last night, and I won't tell you the situation, but I was really having some really hateful thoughts towards someone I don't know, but someone who's in the media a lot. I mean, really hateful. Like, really didn't care if they weren't around anymore. And instead of trying to make that spiritual and prophesy it, I got before the Lord and I said, what is this? What is this in my heart? Because I don't want it here. It doesn't belong. And he gave me a word that I can't spell, that I can't hardly pronounce, so that I know that it's him. And the word was animosity. Animosity is when you make an enemy of a person. And the reason it was stirred up in my heart was because it was been stirred up in the atmosphere over our nation. It stirred up in the atmosphere over our nation. And then we can't see clearly. And then we get more personally involved in the issue than we need to be involved in the issue. And so instead of blessing and praying and crying out for mercy, we begin to take up a spirit of animosity. Or and if you study that word out, it's really hatred. You know, so many are sitting in here tonight with real hatred in their hearts. I know we're Christians. I know if you go to different churches, you know how to dress up on Sunday morning. I don't think anybody remembers how to do that here. It's okay. But animosity, and you've got to quit trying to hide it. You've got to open it up. You've got to quit justifying it. Well, they're so evil, or they're so this. God's the righteous judge, not us. And he's going to pour out what we need to turn to him. And so it's like getting this deep, deep. There's so much animosity between the Republicans and the Democrats. A house divided can't stand. There's so much animosity in the church. There's so much animosity. You know, we're not to have animosity against Muslims or any other group, against Jewish people, against atheists. We're not to have animosity. We are not to declare war on anyone except the enemy, who is invisible, who is defeated. And the only place that Satan has authority is in the place that we give him in our hearts. We got to recognize that. We got to get free from that. And some of that goes back to jealousy. And I asked the Lord when he showed me this, I said, where is the first place where I really got animosity in my heart? And he took me back to a situation I've talked about. It's funny. Do you know there are things that can happen to you when you're a teenager? Any age. But there are things that were not that big a deal that were that big a deal. Not everybody who's got hatred in their heart was raped by their father. Some of the people who have so much hurt and pain had what looked like great childhoods, and according to somebody else, would have been a pretty good childhood. Satan strategically sets things up. and we haven't learned how to recognize those things and break the power of them, and we haven't learned how to do that for our children. We need to learn this stuff. Know the schemes of the enemy, the Bible says. You can only do that by knowing the Holy Spirit and hearing from him. But anyway, this was just a goofy situation. God protected me from some wrong friends, people who were doing stuff they shouldn't have been doing. And I was planning a party with them. It was my first big party. It was like, I don't even know what grade, probably seventh or eighth, maybe eighth grade. It was going to be my first party. I didn't know they were doing the kind of party and God did not want me involved in. I hardly knew who God was back then, but he was still taking care of me. And so we got down to the day of the party after I planned it and helped. I was so excited, you know, as a teenager going to my first party. And the girl whose house it was at told me, you can't come because then your brother won't come. Well, my brother wasn't going to come anyway, but she was using me to try to get my brother to come to her party. I have an older brother. I was so hurt. But I took on vindictiveness, which I dealt with. You'll hear the story. I did not know I actually took on animosity. I made her my enemy. Okay? Animosity is making somebody your enemy. It could be your ex-husband. It could be an ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend. It could be a parent. Everybody's so quiet. Satan loves it. It can be a political leader. It can be an entire people group. It can be a whole gender. Animosity is when you take on a spirit that tells you that someone is your enemy.